and others to salvation and strengthen our own lives and hearts. All right, now, just very quickly, my parents taught me a song when I was very, very young. It's a little song that goes like this: dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. I want to urge you to dare to be a Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. And if you...
This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Mr. George Archibald, who worked for the Washington Times as a reporter for some 23 years or so, and a fascinating, fascinating book he's written called Journalism is War. Mr. Archibald, are you there?
Yes, sir. Here I am.
Well, thank you so very much.
I love your program. It's a spicy program.
Well, thank you so very much. We try to make it interesting, and of course, I was fascinated reading.
Very interesting. I tell you what, you really are a wonderful host, and I love your show.
Well, thank you so much. Well, anyway, so do you want to talk about your book, Journalism is War, Stories of Political Politics, Sexual Dalliance and Corruption in the Nation's Capital. So why don't you sort of pick up the story as you tell it in the book here, and so that you lived through a lot of the things and knew a lot of the people I've known. You talk about Paul Warwick, and, of course, that brings back a lot of memories. We have Larry Pratt on our program every year. They were all part and parcel of something called the Kingston Group.
Marvelous people.
But why don't you pick up the story? Because people want to hear me tell your story. They want to hear you tell your story.
Well, the story is simply that, I mean, we're in a culture war. And we've been in the culture war for, more than a quarter century. And I was privileged in my early life, after high school and college, I got drafted into the military, and I went into the Air Force instead of the Army. I spent 4 years in the Air Force in Arizona, Barry Goldwater country, and got to know the people out there, and got very involved with, telling the public about the Vietnam War from the military point of view, which was my job. And I actually fell in love with telling the story because you get challenged. Now, you tell it from your point of view, but you get challenged. And then I went to work for the Arizona Republic newspaper in Phoenix, and worked for them for 4 years. And then I got picked up by a congressman who got elected. They had a new congressional district in the census out there in Arizona, and the new congressman, John Conlon, picked me up as his press secretary. And I moved back to Washington. It was a very heady experience because it was right at the beginning of the Vietnam War, and we went through the whole period with the Reagan run against Ford, and then the ultimate Reagan victory, and the turnover of the government from the Carter administration to the Reagan administration, and all of the, you know, the stuff that goes on when you have this great big huge changeover in the government. And so I I experienced all of that and watched it as a newsman, but I wasn't a newsman. I was just a bystander. Then the Washington Times started in 1982, and I got a call from a friend of mine who was working with the people who founded the Washington Times, and he said, George, you need to get back into newspapering. And are you there?
Yes, go right ahead. We're going to have to go to a break here in just a moment. Why don't you hold that thought? And we'll get into the Washington Times, fascinating newspaper in a fascinating city. So go right ahead. You were talking about the Washington Times, and certainly you, in 1982, you're asked to join the staff, or at least you're suggested you join the staff of the Washington Times. And Chris said, I mean, this is amazing.
I was the first reporter they hired.
Well, it must have been.
And I watched it all. I didn't have much use for the owner. I mean, to be honest with you, I don't want to badmouth, my former owner, but, and I'm not badmouthing him. I'm just simply stating a fact. I mean, Reverend Moon, Sun Young Moon, I mean, he was a nutty publisher. I mean, here's a man who thought he was like, the second coming of Christ. I mean, he stated that in his writings. And I thought, well, I don't want to go to work for this kind of an idiot. And, I had a second thought. I thought, well, all right, look here. If he has got the cojones to start a newspaper in Washington to compete with the Washington Post and the New York Times and Associated Press and, all the other liberal media extant, then all right, so I get on board. I'm the first one there as a reporter. And I just do my stuff. If they fire me, they fire me. If they don't like me, they don't like me. And so I applied, and they accepted me. And I was the first reporter on board. I mean, they had a bunch of recruits that were members of Reverend Moon's church who came on as recruits. They basically made me their... what do you call it? Their coach. Their
sort of like a mentor.
Yeah. What?
You're like a mentor.
And a veteran. And we had a lot of people come and go, and we had some people come. Let me tell you, there's one guy, Dr. Monteith, who came on board very early on. He was probably the first person on the foreign desk, Gus Constantine, and a self-proclaimed Maoist communist. Boy, we had some interesting spats. Let me tell you. Gus Constantine. But he turned out to be one of the best editors, one of the best reporters, editors at the Washington Times that there was. I mean, here's a man who was totally inimical to me in every single respect. I mean, the man was a communist. Self-proclaimed. And he shouted down reporters. There were some spitting matches in the newsroom like you cannot believe. And then we had...
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here at
right?
Radio Liberty.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this evening is George Archibald. He's written a book called Journalism is War. He's talking about his experiences there as a reporter on the Washington Times. He was there for some 23 years. He was there, of course, under an editor. One of my favorite writers was, how do you pronounce it? Arno de Borgrave? How do you pronounce it?
Arno de Borgrave.
Arno de Borgrave, okay.
Wonderful man. He was chief foreign correspondent for Newsweek for many, many years, I think like a quarter century. And then against him with Time magazine was David Akeman. And I love David Akeman, by the way. You know, he wrote that wonderful book called Great Souls, which was a biography of Billy Graham and Mother Teresa, Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Pope Paul II, Elie Wiesel, and Nelson Mandela. It's a wonderful book. And Arno went toe-to-toe with David Akeman. And let me tell you, Arno de Borgrave was a wonderful man. He slept at the Washington Times. He had a bed in his office. he has this wonderful wife, the most beautiful woman in the world. Her name is Alexandra, his wife. They have a lovely home in Northwest Washington. And Arno slept in the Washington Times. He had a pull-down bed. He used to get up every morning, and he used to make these little notes on yellow note cards that he used to throw down into the newsroom. We used to call it Yellow Rain. And, he would read the paper assiduously every single day, every story, and follow-ups. He wanted follow-ups. And he would throw down these Yellow Rain note cards into the newsroom. We would get them. And let me tell you, he held our feet to the fire. That guy was the most fantastic editor, the most meticulous guy, and he should have got a Pulitzer Prize. I mean, the man was absolutely marvelous.
Well, you know, I always really enjoy his articles. In fact, I took the Washington Times for many years just specifically so I could read his editorial articles. He knew people throughout the world, and he had a wonderful way of certainly being able to take a story and crystallize it and make it very clear and give you a different slant on it than you were going to get from anybody else. And is he still writing?
He still stays on top of things. I mean, he's an editor at large now. United Press International, which the Washington Times purchased, and then he's also editor-at-large of the Washington Times. The man still writes the most marvelous columns. And like this Teddy Kennedy situation, you know, the recent death of Senator Kennedy. Arno de Borgrav today has got the most marvelous column, which looks back over some of the... you know, the news over the years that involved Senator Kennedy. And he is debunking a lot of the myths that are out there. And so this is Journalism is War. This is the title of my book. I chose it because we had an editor at the Washington Times named Fran Coombs. He was a marvelous editor, by the way, Fran Coombs. He's no longer there, but he was managing editor. He was the guy in the newsroom, and he used to come out and he used to shove his fist into the air and yell, "Journalism is war!" Whenever we had a big hit story, and we had some big hit stories, you know, not to brag. I mean, I'm not bragging here, but I mean, this is fact. I mean, we broke the Geraldine Ferraro story. Geraldine Ferraro, when she was picked by Walter Mondale to be the vice presidential Democratic candidate in 1984, she had lied about her finances before the House Ethics Committee, and we broke that story, and that just derailed her candidacy. And then Arno de Borgrav, he comes into my office space. I mean, I'm out in the newsroom. I don't have my own private office. I mean, I'm out in the newsroom. And Arno comes over, and he says, "George, all right, you bagged a Democrat. Now you got to bag a Republican." So I said, "Well, who do you have in mind?" He says, "Oh, well," he says, "I want you to go talk to Dick Allen." Richard Allen, who used to be National Security Advisor to President Reagan.
Right, sure. I've read both of his books, but go right ahead.
No, no. So I go over to see Richard Allen, and I say, "Well, who do you have in mind?" "Oh, Michael Deaver." And I said, "Well, why?" And so he starts extolling all of his view of Michael Deaver. Oh, he was in Canada as the front man for Reagan when he had his summit with Prime Minister Brian Mulroney of Canada, and the issue of the summit was acid rain. So the Canadian point of view was that the Detroit automakers and their smokestacks were responsible for all the acid rain that was falling on Canada. So while he's in Canada, Deaver strikes a $3 million contract with the Canadian government to represent them. He's going to leave the White House, and he's going to represent the Canadian government to $3 million a year on the acid rain issue on the opposite side of what our country's point of view was on that issue. Well, for God's sakes, I mean, can you imagine a bigger conflict of interest? I mean, the man is a government official working for the President of the United States, and he's striking a deal for $3 million, and then on top of that, he struck deals with, Saatchi and Saatchi and all sorts of other companies, and, I mean, by the time you got through with it, he had $14 million worth of contracts, and so I wrote that story. And he got indicted. I mean, they even appointed a special counsel based on our stories in the Washington Times. I mean, I'm not bragging here. This is truth. Based on our stories, they appointed Whitney North Seymour as special counsel, and they indicted Deaver on ethics charges, but they couldn't get him on that. But they did get him on perjury because he lied through his teeth when he was before the jury. And they got him on, like, 8 counts of perjury. And he was sentenced to jail time. So, I mean, journalism is war. I mean, you know, you go against a Democrat, you go against a Republican, you go against a bad guy. It doesn't make any difference what party they are, what philosophy they are. If they're bad guys, you go against the story for the reading public, and you just tell it.
Well, of course, you know,
let the chips fall where they may.
Well, I certainly agree with that. I think that sometimes the liberal media, though, protects its own. That's why I think the Washington Times was doing such a good job. There had to be another voice on the other side. As you point out in your book, why Reverend Moon has put something like $3 billion, that's three big boy billion dollars into that losing proposition. But at least there's been a voice.
Yeah, it's all money down the drain.
But at least it's been a voice against the New York Times.
It isn't money down the drain. I mean, you know, look, he's a smart man. Moon, everybody looked at him as this crazy, like, you know, evangelical Moon Church preacher. But he really isn't. I mean, the guy is a superb businessman. He's got mining interests. He's got businesses in Japan, in Korea, all over the world, and the man is smart, and he's hands off as a publisher. I will tell you, 23 years of experience in the Washington Times, that man never told anybody what to say or what to do. Now, I don't know what he said in his conversations with the senior editors. You know, I mean, that's a publisher certainly has a right to say, I want you to do this, I want you to do that. But as a reporter, he never told me what to do. And I even sat with him in a meeting. We went on a trip to Korea and to Japan. And I sat down with him at a lunch, and I asked him, I said, well, what is your vision for the Washington Times? What do you expect? What are you trying to accomplish? And he looked me right in the eye, and he said that all he wanted was for us to do our level best. And look, he said, we vet everybody. We obviously, you know, I mean, you're an employee. You apply for a job. We're going to vet you. And we want the best people we can get. We want the best columnists. We want the best writers. And I think the Washington Times is better known not for the news product, which I was a part of, but for its opinion product. I mean, when Mary Lou Forbes, who recently died, was the head of the commentary section, which was the best commentary section, I will say, to anybody, the best commentary section of any newspaper in America. She had everybody. She had everybody from Thomas Sowell to James Jackson Kilpatrick to Bill Buckley to and liberals. You know, I mean, she had it all over the map. And you could open that section and you could get both points of view, left, right, libertarian, you name it. I mean, I don't know who your favorites are, but you could get them all in the Washington Times.
Well, I know they did. It really was
you
wonderful.
You couldn't get it in the Washington Post. You couldn't get it in the New York Times.
Well, the thing is that if we hope to have any sort of a free society, we have to have a free press. Jefferson realized that. I think anybody realizes that people have to have access to information, and they certainly weren't getting the truth out of the New York Times. I always like to say, I want to recount the pages myself because I don't trust anything. It's a fascinating newspaper. I read it every day. But they have a bias there in their articles. They have a bias on their editorial pages. And the same is true with the Washington Times, which I read their weekend edition regularly, and all the major news magazines. Certainly the Washington Times was a breath of fresh air. Not, I didn't always agree with it, but fascinating.
And you know what? I mean, every viewpoint is represented. I mean, you've got everybody from...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mined supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
what it was like in Virginia when he was a young boy and they had segregation there. In fact, his whole book really is sort of a look back on the history of our time. He lived through a lot of these experiences. He knew a lot of the people who played key parts. He was certainly there when the conservative movement was organized here in the United States by a couple of people I knew, Richard Vickery and Paul Weyrich, and really, well, Paul is gone, but I certainly miss him. And we had a lot of, I met him a number of times and talked with him, and he loved America. He gave his whole life to organizing the conservative movement, the Heritage Foundation, which at least when he organized it, I think was,
He founded the Heritage Foundation.
I know, man. There's so many of these organizations, and then they formed something called the Kingston Club. I'd never heard of that before, but this was really the very, very center of the conservative movement, and Mr. Archibald George was actually part and parcel of that. They met every week, and they created the Moral Majority back there in the late 1970s, and then of course it was there when Ronald Reagan came in, and supposedly the conservatives took over government. I was interested in one of the speeches you quoted from Ronald Reagan, where he was suddenly decrying the fact that at that time, and this was probably leading up to the 1980s, somewhere in the late 1970s, at that time our government was taking a tremendous amount of taxes from us and was spending $17 million a day more than they were taking in. And as he said, how can the government continue spending $17 million a day more it's taking in? Well, now we're spending about $4 billion a day more than we're taking in, and we're still doing it, and until the whole thing collapses. But you lived through that time of the coming back of the conservative movement, and then of course Ronald Reagan's sweep into the White House. You describe that so beautifully in your book, and brings back a lot of memories.
Well, you're very nice, and thank you for that. I think back on all of those meetings. When I came back to Washington, and the congressman I worked for, his name was John Conlon, from Arizona, Republican, conservative, and his father, Jocko Conlon, who was a baseball umpire, and he's in the
Hall of Fame, right?
He took the office of Vinegar Ben Mizell from North Carolina, who was also a baseball guy. When I came to Washington, I wasn't a sports guy. I didn't understand all this stuff about baseball and about basketball and all this kind of stuff. But I suddenly found out how important it was. And they had all of these courts in the Rayburn Building, the Rayburn House Office Building. They had like baseball and basketball courts. They had a swimming pool. Good God, they had an Olympic swimming pool, for God's sake, right under the Capitol, and all of this stuff. And I couldn't believe it. And it was a real comeuppance for me because you get educated by this, and I come from a horse family, athletics and horses and being fit, that's my life, all of my life, but the politics, how does that intersect? Well, it intersects because it's not partisan. Like, all right, so you've got a swimming pool in the Rayburn House Office Building. It's Olympic size, and so here's Barney Frank splashing around with all of his homosexual friends at 10 o'clock at night, and Dick Armey, who is too poor to be able to rent a house in Washington after he gets elected to the Congress from Texas, is living out of his office. and he's washing, he's taking a bath in the house gym. And he's down there, and oh, they had cubicles down there for the congressman. They had 10 of them. And so here's Dick Armey. Get this picture. Dick Armey is asleep. 10 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, he gets waken up by all of this noise in the house gym. Flashing.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess, of course, it's George Archibald. We were talking about Dick Armey. Dick was Armey. I'd never met him. I heard him speak a few times. But he always impressed me as a straight shooter, a real, true, honest-to-goodness conservative who eventually resigned because he just couldn't put up with the corruption there in Washington, D.C. But he didn't have enough money even to rent an apartment. He had to sleep in his office. He was sleeping down there at the there in the cubicle in the gym. I assume it's where they're. Barney Frank and all of his homosexual friends were out splashing around and having just a gay old time in the government swimming pool. So what happens?
Well, Dick Armey is asleep in the cubicle, as you said. I mean, he's asleep. You know, I mean, in the little cubicle down there in the house gym. And he hears all this splashing and shouting and people, you know, cannonballing into the pool and all this kind of stuff. So he goes, he peers around the corner. Well, here's Barney Frank, stark naked, with like 16 boys, also stark naked. They're all jumping into the pool, you know, and they're grabbing each other and groveling and blah, blah, blah. Dick Armey is just, what do you do when you see something like that? So anyway, my reporting partner, Paul Rodriguez and I, Newt Gingrich and Dick Armey, I have to admit, they were good sources for us, would tell us, you know, what was going on, and we would meet, with them regularly in the, they have this little subway that goes between the Capitol and the Rayburn House office building. We call it the Rayburn Subway. It's a little train that just, you know, takes people from the Rayburn House office building to the Capitol, underground, and it's a subway. So, like, we would meet down there, and we would meet the congressman down there, and so, Newt Gingrich comes out, and he says, you need to talk to Dick Armey. So I said, all right. So here he comes. So I said, Mr. Armey, Newt says we need to talk to you. What do we need to talk to you about? Okay.
Hold that thought. We'll be back here in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly George Archibald, author of the book Journalism is War, 23, 25 years, a Washington correspondent working in Washington, D.C. for the Washington Times, telling us about what really goes on in Washington, D.C., the corruption, basically this lust for power, these power brokers who really run our country, who have no principles at all. It's all about, well, getting ahead, and certainly there's so much womanizing and drinking and drugs. But anyway, he's talking about Dick Armey, and Dick Armey was always one of my favorite people. For a time, he was the leader of the Republican Party there, and I think he finally gave up just in disgust. But Mr. Archibald is told he's got to talk to Dick Armey to get the story. Dick Armey has the story of something he's seen that was just so disgusting that. Anyway, you pick up the story. So you contacted Mr. Armey in this subway that goes between the Rayburn Building and the Capitol. And what did Dick Armey tell you?
Well, he told us that that was a prostitution ring, and it was a male prostitution ring, I should say, male prostitution ring, and that was servicing members of Congress. And so my partner, Paul Rodriguez, and I, we followed up. We got the information that Dick Armey gave us and that other people gave us, and we started looking into this. And we found out that there was a group, there was a prostitution ring in Washington, and that they even sold sex for credit. I mean, you could use your American Express card.
And weren't they actually operating out of Barney Frank's home? Now, Barney Frank's is the chairman of the House Banking Committee. Makes us feel real good and warm.
Barney Frank was living with Steve Gobi, who was the principal prostitute, and Barney Frank invited Steve Gobi to join him in his own apartment. I mean, they were living together. And Steve Gobi was organizing. It was a prostitution ring that was operating out of Barney Frank's apartment.
That is Congressman Barney Frank, the honorable Congressman
Barney Frank,
member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yeah, it was a prostitution ring operating out of his apartment.
And the thing is, Congress did absolutely nothing about it because of course.
Oh, for God's sake, give me a break! I mean, the guy is a complete liar. Barney Frank is a complete liar. I mean, the guy was, I mean, look, let me say this, and this is in my book. At the same time that Barney Frank was lying, lying, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he was in bed with this male prostitute, Steve Gobi. At the same time, Steve Gobi had another client who was an elementary school teacher who was the principal of the Chevy Chase Elementary School in Chevy Chase, Maryland, which is one of the most pristine, like, upper crusty areas of Washington. And Steve Gobi was at the same time, and then Gabriel Massaro, who was the principal of that school, allowed Steve Gobi, who was Barney Frank's homosexual lover, to use the guidance counselor's office during the nighttime hours when nobody was at the school, which was the elementary school, Chevy Chase Elementary School. So Gabriel Massaro, the principal, allowed the male prostitute, Steve Gobi, to use the guidance counselor's office to do tricks out of that office. Like, he was there. He was allowed to use that office to receive telephone calls so that he could meet other people. And Gabriel Massaro and Barney Frank and a bunch of other people, they had a party together at Barney Frank's apartment. For God's sake, I mean, these people are homosexuals, and they're into homosexual sex, and, they're selling each other. For God's sake, and this man gets up in the well of the House of Representatives, the U.S. House of Representatives, Barney Frank, and he moralizes about what we should do and what we should not do. He says that George Bush is this, that, and the other. I mean, give me a break. This man is the most reprehensible, undefensible, homosexual pervert, and he's using taxpayer money to hire prostitutes for his own sexual gratification. I mean, where does this end?
But where is the outcry from the other members of Congress?
Well, yes, I asked the same question. Where is it? I mean, where is it? I mean, they're all protecting each other. You know, this is the other thing I don't like about the Congress. These people, they protect every... I don't care whether it's Democrat or Republican. They all protect each other. You know, you've got... Over on the Republican side, you've got the Congress. You've got the congressman from Arizona. What's his name? From Tucson. I can't remember his name. Jim... Somebody or other. Anyway, whatever his name is. The guy, the congressman from Tucson, he's homosexual. Republican. Then you've got Barney Frank from Massachusetts. Democrat. Homosexual. Let me tell you, there are so many homosexuals in the Congress, and they're all protecting each other. Then, now, they go up against the Christian, the good people who are trying to present a good Christian message about this, that, or the other. Oh, for God's sake. You can't say anything against the homosexuals. Oh, for God's sake. If you do, then, oh, well, then you're a homophobe. Then they're going to go against you. I mean, the whole Congress. I mean, what is going on here?
Well, I thought it was very, very fitting that Bobby Kennedy died the other day, and he was lauded and applauded, and day after day we saw on television about Bobby Kennedy, this courageous senator, being laid to rest in Arlington ceremony, and there's his, you know, suddenly his he's being buried, and
well,
all the presidents are there to honor him, both Republicans.
For God's sakes, I mean, the guy was a sex pervert. Everybody knew it. I mean, everybody, he was laying everybody he could get his hands on in the Congress. I mean, you know, all of the young interns, you name it. Teddy Kennedy, he was a pervert. For God's sakes, I mean, where will this end?
But the thing is, the average person...
And they attacked Dick Cheney and George Bush. I mean, give me a break. These people are moral, good people. But, you know, and Lynn Cheney, I mean, there's no better woman than Lynn Cheney has ever served this country, in my view. I mean, I'm a newsman, and she was the head of the National Endowment for the Arts, you know, during all of the worst times of that agency. And Dick Cheney, I mean, I personally believe that Dick Cheney was the best vice president we have had in our lifetime. The guy he knew how to run the Congress because he was a congressman. He knew how to run it. He ran it very skillfully. And then here you've got Teddy Kennedy running around, screwing everybody that he can get his hands on. And you've got all of these people. I mean, name them. I mean, good God alive. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Well, you talk a great deal about just the gross immorality. Of course, that was Teddy Kennedy or Edward Kennedy who passed away recently. But certainly the way this whole thing was built up, and the only thing that was ever mentioned was the tragic event where Mary Jo Kopechne, I think was her name, was that he left her to die.
Mary Jo Kopechne.
Right. And he left her to die. He was never held responsible.
He was in the back seat of the car.
Right. And he should have been saved, and he left her there to die. He should have been totally discredited, but because he had a favorable media, and Chris, this is the real problem we have,
Kennedy.
Is the
he
fact
was a
that
Kennedy.
The...
He was a Kennedy.
Right. Well, anyway, of course, as you, I read your book, we see this almost depravity so much goes on there. You even go into how Hillary Clinton was able to get into the commodities changing and make $100,000 in a relatively about a week or so. But everybody said, he was just so smart. It was obviously a payoff. And this is the sort of thing that goes on all the time. And nobody says anything.
That was a depravity. I mean, give me a break. Now, here... I covered that story. I was in Arkansas for a year here's Bill Clinton. He's screwing every woman in Arkansas. Yeah, forget Paula Jones. She was only one of many. You know, Jennifer Flowers? Give me a break. Bill Clinton was all over Arkansas, screwing every woman, every county he could get a woman, he was screwing her. And then so, Hillary Clinton, she got a little pissed off, and she's at the Rose Law Firm, which was the most prestigious law firm in Little Rock. And so she starts an amorous affair with Vince Foster. And let me tell you, Hillary Clinton and Vince Foster, they were doing it. And so then what happens when Bill Clinton gets elected president? He wants Vince Foster to be deputy White House counsel. Why? Why?
Well, I don't know why. That has always been my question.
Let me tell you why. Because Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton had not filed federal income tax returns for 3 years. Because they had this Whitewater development. They did this land deal with Seth Ward, who was the one of their partners, and a bunch of other people.
Well, the McDougals were there, Susan.
And Jim and Susan McDougal. They did this Whitewater deal, and they didn't have any money to pay for it. So they were taking losses. They didn't know whether they were taking losses or gains. So when Clinton got elected president, they didn't know what to do because they hadn't filed tax returns. So they asked Vince Foster to come back to Washington to be deputy White House counsel to just kind of clean up all of their, you know, back tax returns and all the other stuff that was out there hanging. Well, when Vince Foster got back there, it was just a mess. I mean, it was just so, there was so much mess. Well, then poor Vince, I mean, he had his own family problem. His own son was in high school out in Little Rock, and he was into drugs. And so Vince was fighting that, and then his wife was there, and she was fighting that, and all that kind of stuff. So there was Vince back in Washington, and his wife and son, Aaron's son, in Little Rock. I mean, it was just a disaster waiting to happen. And so what happened was Vince ended up shooting himself in the head, killed himself, committed suicide. And right there in his office, and you know what? Right here in Middleburg, Virginia, where I live, is the lady who brought him his last lunch.
But if he shot himself in the head in the office, how did he end up in Fort Marcy Park?
Well, he drove there.
Oh, he didn't commit suicide in the office.
He didn't know where he was going. Look, Linda Tripp was his secretary. She's right here in Middleburg right now. She's got a lovely shop here called Christmas Sleigh. And she married a man from Norway or Sweden or somewhere who makes all these little, you know, all these Christmas dolls.
Well, of course, Linda Tripp was, of course, one of the stars of the Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky drama.
She's right here in Middleburg. she's like two blocks from me. Right here in Middleburg, Virginia. She's right here. And her shop is called Christmas Play.
And, of course, she was Vince Foster's secretary?
Yes.
Well, it's a small world. He said when you're back there, I'm sure you will have a lot more contact and can see how all of these things sort of interlock.
Well, yeah, and you know how? Because, you know, she was a career White House employee. Now, see, look, It's just like the executive service. It's just like civil service. At the White House, it goes from president to president. It's civil service. You can't fire all these people. You can't get rid of them just like overnight. You would think that they would be able to. I mean, like the president comes in, like Barack Obama comes in, and he doesn't like all these people that used to work for George Bush. All right, get rid of all of them. Out, you're out the door. No, it doesn't work that way. They all have privilege. I mean, they all have civil service privilege. They're civil service workers. You can't get rid of them that easy. You've got to have reason to get rid of them. So Linda Tripp, she played her cards really, really right. I mean, like, I have to give her credit. She played her cards right. And then she made book with Monica Lewinsky. Oh, that couple, that was like the dynamic duo. That changed a lot of history. Because, they start talking about, who did what to whom.
Well, you hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment. Our guest this evening has been Mr. George Archibald. His book, Journalism is War. How can people get your book? How can people get your book?
The publisher is Anomalous. And they're in Missouri. It's Post Office Box 5, Crane, Missouri.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get that address again. Is it up available on Amazon? It's a very readable book.
Post Office Box 5.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We know America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620. Or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Journalism is war, certainly a fascinating insight into what's really gone on in Washington, D.C. over a period of the 23 to 25 years when he was one of the lead reporters for the Washington Times, certainly the only conservative newspaper, one of the few conservative newspapers in the entire country. And of course, this is the point where I need to remind our listeners that our ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you agree that we are involved in a spiritual battle being fought on a political and ideological battlefield, we'd love to hear from you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. I want to remind you about our all-day conference on the 25th of October, and that's going to be at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. And if you can make it, we're bringing in, of all people, Tom Horn will be here, and certainly Dr. Catherine Albrecht and William Grigg, and we're bringing in Ashley Moat, a member of the European Parliament. It'll be a great program, and it'll be all day long. We're serving lunch. You're going to have reservations because we have to know how many people will be here. And then, of course, Anomalous Publications actually carries the book, and we'll actually get the information for you with Post Office Box 5, and that is in Crane, Post Office Box 5, Crane, Missouri. So Post Office Box 5, Crane, Missouri, up for Anomalous Publications, if you'd like to get a copy of Journalism is War, but I'm sure you get it on Amazon as well. Well, then, of course, we hope many of you will want to get our new four-tape set on the swine flu vaccine. Because you need to understand how dangerous this whole thing is. This is all contrived. We don't know what's in the vaccine to this very date, less than 6 weeks, before the vaccine is going to be widely circulated and given to hundreds of millions of people. No one will tell us what's in the vaccine. How could that possibly be? I've called the CDC. I've talked to the people there. I've called GlaxoSmithKline. And nobody knows what's going to be in the vaccine they're going to give to hundreds of millions of people. That doesn't make sense unless there's another agenda. This is non-issue. If you've got swine flu, your chances of you're dying from it's like being killed by being struck by lightning. The chances of death or complications are very minimal from the disease, but what about the vaccine? Could the vaccine destroy your life or the life of a loved one? Well, we know this has happened many times in the past, and the vaccine programs have brought terrible havoc throughout the world. Most people don't know that the World Health Organization just accidentally infected 2 billion people with hepatitis B. Almost all of them got it from the vaccination program where they just accidentally used dirty needles, and 60,000 people die every year of hepatitis B totally unnecessarily in third world countries. This did not, in my estimation, happen by accident. Understand that there is another agenda out there. You need to get my talk on planned population reduction. My talk, None Dare Call It Genocide. My talk on population control. You need to get our four-tape set on population control. You need to get the population control agenda monograph. It's up on our internet site at radioliberty.com, or if you get any of the other items and you ask for a copy of the monograph, we'll send it to you. We want you to copy that to get it out. We're talking about millions of lives being in danger, and they may not all die immediately. They may develop the autoimmune diseases, which are characteristic of the squalene. The squalene's already being distributed, but they just haven't decided whether they're going to add it to the vaccine before it's given. It's being distributed across America, But, of course, they're just waiting to decide. After testing a couple of hundred people for a couple of weeks, they're going to make a decision that could influence the lives of hundreds of millions of people. Our number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Help us get the word out there. Tell your friends. Warn them. Don't take the vaccine. This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and certainly for the next hour, they're going to be the views of June Griffin, who is coming to us from Tennessee. And I've talked to June on a couple of programs. I found she is a delightful person. This is why I wanted our listeners here to hear her story. You know, there are a lot of people out there I hear all the time, and they bemoan what's going on today. Things are terrible, and we're wringing our hands, and the world is coming apart, and there's nothing we can do. Well, I think the June Griffin story actually refutes that. There's a great deal that each one of us can do. Certainly, my wife and I decided we were going to try to influence people through the means of talk radio, and I have other friends that have done the same thing, individuals, but each one of them is having an impact out across America. None of us are going to change things individually, but cumulatively, a lot of people. And, of course, on our programs, we specifically invite people who have an important message. But then June has an important message, and of course she has picked actually the courts, and she works within the legal system, and certainly by going around and talking to county governments and county councils to try to influence the thought process. And I was really very impressed when I talked to June about what she has done, and specifically about her battles with the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union. That's the ACLU, the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union, which certainly has an intense hatred of Christianity, is doing everything they can, along with the Anti-Defamation League, and certainly the and the B'nai B'rith and a few other organizations, to undermine the very fabric of our society and undermine our Constitution, but mainly to destroy the belief of the people in God. And if you destroy the religious foundations of a nation, you destroy that nation. And the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union, known as the ACLU, has been doing an excellent job of that in Tennessee until they encountered June Griffin. June, thank you so very much for being with us this evening.
Well, thanks for having me. I was sitting here a few minutes ago reading Psalm 78, and it's kind of like a history of the country. You know, the Bible being our foundational document, really. That's where our fathers drew their strength. And if people would get back to the Scriptures, they'd find out that they were quite valuable. Because we have a Savior who gave his life for us and gave us a country. And I've been impressed this year. In fact, I spoke to a ministerial association yesterday of the importance of this year having a Thanksgiving for all the material blessings that we have, particularly with manufacturing. I'm sitting here in a very nice kitchen with all kinds of electricity running and air conditioning, and to have such creature comforts is God's gift. And I think especially women have, you know, down through the years, women have been endured a great deal of hardships, having to face the elements, and a lot of times their families didn't really care about them. But American women should be especially grateful for the manufacturing of all kinds of things. I told we have a worship service on Sunday morning here, and I told them, well, how many things in this room were not made by factories? And they had to conclude that the people and the plants were not made by factories. And, of course, God gave us these factories, and we've become very idle about them. But I'm grateful.
I am, too. Well, hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment here with June Griffin. Well, June, if you pick up the story there.
Oh, are we back?
No, we're right back. Go right ahead.
Well, as I was saying, I'm not anybody in particular as far as anybody else. It's just that the Lord laid on me a real wrath about what has been going on with the ACLU trampling itself across the country. And the other end of it is making us pay. I guess that irritates me more than anything. If you're like everybody else, we run on the budget, and every time we write a check to the IRS, it makes it mad. And then, of course, there's the property tax and the sales tax and on and on. So for the ACLU to rig a scheme to make us give up our rights, our Ten Commandments or whatever, our Ninth and Tenth Amendment rights to govern ourselves within the state or within the county, and to make us pay for it on top of that. A lot of people don't know. I had another call from a lady today, and she said people did not know that under the Title 42, Section 1988, the ACLU or the Freedom From Religion or whether one of those concocted special interest creatures, they get paid their legal fees out of our tax dollars.
In other words, basically, if they bring a suit and they win the suit, then the community that they're suing has to pay the lawyers from the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union large sums of money, $500,000, $1 million, and they're making money hand over fist in the process of destroying the religious foundation of our country. People like maybe want to put up the Ten Commandments and say they should not steal or covet or commit adultery. Oh, no, we can't do that. That's a violation of the wall of separation. The ACLU intimidates the cities and communities, and then ends up getting legal fees. It's one thing to destroy the religious foundation of another, but to add insult to injury, they're getting big bucks for it. And so, well, they were doing that in Tennessee until June Griffin came along. So you tell the story, June.
Well, as I said, I've been observing this, and I was also alerted to this situation by the American Legion, who rose up against this practice in 2004 and actually introduced a resolution at their Nashville convention to put a stop to it through Congress. And I've watched this down through the years, but a few months ago, and I can't give you the exact date, but it's been within the last 6 months, I heard of the case in Knox and Davidson County.
Hold that thought, June. We're going to be back here in just a moment.
All right.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and June is talking about her one of the encounters with the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union, the ACLU, that's trying to bulldoze the local counties into taking down the Ten Commandments or certainly other things. So you pick up the story there, because this is an example of what one person with dedication can do. And any one of you out there in the listening audience can do this yourself or with another group. What we need to do is organize. There are not very many people on the other side, but they're well organized and course, they're very well financed, and they even get better financed when they can win a suit against the community and make them pay these vile lawyers whose job it is to destroy the religious foundation of our country, to get them to pay them large legal fees for undermining our Constitution. So pick up the story, June.
Well, the Knox and Davidson County, which is Nashville and Knoxville, they did not want this real bad pornography coming into their libraries. So they had put in certain blocks on those computers on their websites, and the ACLU brought suit to they wanted to include everything, that things that are unmentionable, and I, as a lady, will not go into. So when I heard about it, I filed a motion to intervene and was, as a counter-complainant, as a taxpayer, and as a citizen. And God bless that, in that the judge allowed my intervention, ordered it as a part of the court case. And in the process of time, I introduced arguments pertaining to this rip-off that we've been subject to. And not only that, I brought up the fact that we were in such a position in our country that we had to, in our legislature the last session, reaffirm that we had a 9th and 10th Amendment, sovereignty amendments, that Tennessee had a right to run its own state under the Bill of Rights, and that I also knew that the wishes of the counties and the people of Tennessee, because of my work for the Ten Commandment resolution throughout the state, which took 6 years, going from one county commission to the next, and 85 of the 95 counties actually adopted the resolution that we have a right to post the commandment. So with all these arguments and much prayer, I got what I wanted. The case was dismissed, even though Knox and Davidson County had made some earlier agreements to let some come through. The case was dismissed. They didn't get the worst of what they wanted, and they had to pay their own legal fees. And I'm very grateful for that, and the ACLU was so distraught that they filed a motion recently of a judgment on the pleadings, asking that my motion be counted moot now, since I had already gotten what I wanted. And what else I want is under Title 18, I want them put in jail for violating our rights. And there is a 10-year prison sentence under Title 18 for persons who deprive another of their rights. And so I pressed the judge. I answered their motion, asking him to cause the ACLU to have to pay back the counties the money that they had extorted and to put them in jail. So I haven't heard back from that, that yet.
Well, I mean, certainly these people are part of a conspiracy. There really is a conspiracy against America. There are those subversive elements here who want to undermine the very fabric of our Constitution, because a corrupt group of Supreme Court justices came up with these decisions that took God and prayer out of our schools. Does not mean it's the law of this land. The law of our land is the Constitution, and you read the First Amendment, it's pretty clear exactly what it says. But there are people who want to destroy the religious foundation of this nation. They want to take God and mention of God out of our schools, and of course, two generations after they did that in 1962, look at the situation of our nation today. They knew exactly what they were doing. Destroy the religious foundation of a nation, you destroy the nation. They were subversives on the Supreme Court at that time who worshipped a different God and part of a Masonic conspiracy, and today, why is it the current court is upholding the decision of the Masonic judges, and we have to ask ourselves why. We wonder if any of those judges on the Supreme Court today, at least six of them now are Catholics, if they have the courage, of course, to uphold our Constitution and the religious foundation of this nation. But go right along from there.
Well, this is where we are right now, and as far as the Constitution goes, Article 6, Section 1 says, all debts contracted and engagements entered into before the adoption of this Constitution shall be as valid against the United States under the Constitution as under the Confederation. So the Mayflower Compact is included in that. the Articles of Confederation. In other words, nothing was changed. It was just more or less completed and, of course, included the elements of the Declaration of Independence, which stated that we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. I live in the county that defeated the ACLU in 1925. We had a case that was called the Monkey Trial, but actually the monkeys were the ones who were for evolution, because we recently put up a billboard in response to a Darwin's birthday or whatever they had, and it's stated that evolutionists come from monkeys. And so we had a trial of those people, and the ACLU was defeated. They sent $100 down to anyone they challenged in the newspapers that they would pay $100 to any person who would challenge Tennessee's laws against teaching evolution, which, of course, is a lie. And we never have allowed lies to be told. And so Tennessee and a lot of other states had passed laws that you could not teach evolution. And the ACLU did not like that. And so the $100 was paid to one of the, he was a substitute teacher.
His name was Scopes, right. Scopes trial.
Scopes trial. And it was a very famous trial, and Scopes was convicted. So we have beat them there once, and as I was going around to these various counties for the Ten Commandments, I said, we're going to whip them again here, because Tennesseans have a history of liking a fight, and so they have one on their hands when they mess with this state, because it's wrong for them to just walk all over us and make us pay the bills. And I said to Hetty Weinberg, who is the head of the ACLU, in a meeting that she held in Nashville, Tennessee, I said, we're taking the Bill of Rights away from you because you don't keep any of the Bill of Rights. You don't want us to have it. You've stolen it, and you don't keep it. So we're in the process of doing that.
Well, now, are you getting pretty good support? You mentioned that you went around to all of the city, all the county councils, and almost all of them supported you in this concept of trying to restore the Tenth Amendment and to limit the power of the federal government and take back our freedom from these corrupt people who want to destroy the spiritual and legal structure of our nation.
Well, Stan, when I went to those counties, and that was an independent effort, privately funded. There was no tax-exempt organization or anything. We just went. I went. And as I said, it took 6 years. And I wish that every patriot could have been with me on that tour. The response of these county commissioners was wonderful. And I remember there have been World War II veterans with tears, so glad. Whole commissions would say, I second this. And I remember one school superintendent, a lady, put her arms around me and wept like a baby. The response was wonderful. 85 of the 95 counties in Tennessee adopted that resolve, and only one voted against it. And the other nine tabled it for fear of a lawsuit. So it was overwhelmingly popular. And the response was great. I know what the people of Tennessee want. And this is one thing I have mentioned in running for governor. I know that once I could gain that position, I could unify the people under the Ten Commandments, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, the Tennessee Declaration of Rights.
And, of course, basically the other side hates it. They know that 95% of our people love America. They love God.
Right.
But the thing is, they control the media, and they control, of course, the means of communication. And most people have this feeling of being very isolated. And when the media is always attacking the good people and glorifying the corrupt, evil, degenerate people like Senator Ted Kennedy, who's gone to his just rewards, and he
right.
was a despicable individual, and yet
exactly.
no mention of that at all. And they say, oh, well, don't say anything bad about the dead, unless, of course, it's somebody that they don't like, and then they'll do everything
like
they
Jesse
can.
Am.
And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295 if you'd like to talk to June. who has been on the front lines of this battle for many years, taking cases to court, and certainly not as a lawyer at all, but as a citizen who's learned a certain amount of about judicial procedure and legal procedure, has been able to challenge the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union and other subversive organizations, and the ACLU is a subversive organization, and nobody wants to say that. But then we've got a lot of people who are subversives working in our Congress today who have sworn to uphold the Constitution, and of course they're violating their oath constantly. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, that if somebody doesn't like our Constitution, wants to change it, why you amend the Constitution? But the Constitution is still the law of our land.
That's right.
The only trouble is we've got an awful lot of lawbreakers there in key positions in the House of Representatives, in the United States Senate, in the Justice Department, and in the White House itself. Are we going to sit back and let this small group of people, many of them perverts and disreputable individuals and liars and cheaters, are we going to let them take away our freedom? Or are we going to stand up for liberty? Well, we're going to be back here. Give us a call if you have a question. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Our guest, June Griffin. June, go right ahead.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Berkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Berkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Of the state at the time, and of course Tennessee was part of North Carolina at the time of the American Revolution, and the Tennesseans fought right alongside the North Carolinians, so she was able to get three copies, and one went into the University of Tennessee and one to the state, and then she has one herself. But people don't understand the importance of the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights was a document that limited the power of the federal government.
Exactly.
People understood at that time that you did not want a government that could regulate the individual. They did not want a government that could regulate the individual, that could investigate the individual, that could tax the individual, that could control the individual. They wanted to be free. No, so the powers of the federal government were to be very limited and defined. The powers of the states were to be unlimited and ill-defined, and matters dealing with life and liberty and property and the individual were left to the states. Now, you might very well have certainly corruption at the states, and you could fight it at the state level, or you could pick up and move to another state. But what do you do when you've got corruption in Washington, D.C., and people as disreputable as Barney Frank, one of the most powerful men in Washington, D.C., and a totally degenerate individual? So what can be done? Well, this is why the Bill of Rights was there. And despite the fact that there's always been corruption in Washington, D.C., as long as the Bill of Rights was intact, no matter how corrupt Congress was, and believe me, Congress has always been corrupt. You go back and read Andrew Jackson's farewell address, and that's the subject of three of my last newsletters, or certainly at every stage in our nation's history, Congress has been corrupt, but they couldn't do any harm because they were limited in what they could do. It was only, of course, when you were able to convince the people we were a democracy and whatever Congress wanted to do was legal, and then, of course, anybody who tried to defend the Constitution was demonized. Only then did we begin to lose our freedom. Well, June, anyway, tell us a little bit more about some of the things you've been doing and our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295.
This Tennessee Declaration of Rights is very vital, and it cannot ever be abrogated. The Declaration of Rights hereto prefix is declared to be a part of the Constitution of the state, and shall never be violated on any pretense whatever, and to guard against transgression of its high powers. We declare that everything in the Bill of Rights contained is accepted out of the general powers of the government and shall forever remain inviolate. And the doctrine of non-resistance to arbitrary power is abusive and slavish and absurd. That's in our Declaration of Rights. And I guess it's the Spirit of God that, being a Tennessean and raised here, that's kind of in you, you know, to resist arbitrary power and for the ACLU or anybody else to take away powers which God gave us. It goes against your grain. I had an incident that you may be interested in. It's been a couple of years, maybe three now. I don't remember exact dates. But there was a Mexican restaurant, a Hispanic restaurant, not a restaurant, but a grocery store that came up in our little town, and they posted a Mexican flag on the door saying, "This is Mexico." So I went in there, and I tried to speak to the fellow. I said, you have no right to have this flag here. And he tried to mumble something to me, fairly young man, in Spanish, and it made me mad. So I took the flag down, walked out with it. And we had a court case over that, and they all disappeared. The case was dismissed against me. I was charged with hate crimes, stealing, and all kinds of stuff. And I filed my own papers. I defended myself. And in the course of that, someone sent me a quotation from Jose Gutierrez, who was an officer in La Raza. And he said, gringos must be eliminated. I contacted him. He teaches political science in Texas. And I said to him, do you still believe this? And he said, I still believe this. So this latest Supreme Court judge that was just put in power is an executive member, I understand, of La Raza. So I remember Davy Crockett. He was from Tennessee. And I remember the Alamo. So that was another rather excruciating experience with the courts I had. But again, there was an answer to prayer.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. To stand back here. Well, I'm glad you enjoy the song there, June. We actually play this at our break, and this has sort of become our theme song. I just think it's a song that we need to keep playing over and over again to constantly remind people about the wonderful heritage of freedom we have that is being systematically destroyed by the anti-Christian lawyers union and the subversives working at the highest level of our government.
That's right, and we use that music in the Armed Forces Day parades and the Veterans Day parade, Armistice Day, November the 11th. That's something else that people can do, is get involved in getting those parades started up. If they don't have them in their town, they should. Chattanooga has one of the oldest Armed Forces Day parades, and then, of course, that November the 11th needs to be kept. So that is something that you can do. There are a lot of things that citizens can do to keep patriotism. Not only, I mean, it's very low right now because of the invasion of multiculturalism. But this is a holy country, and it doesn't belong to the world. It's our country. And I am very proud to be an American, and I'm thankful that God has given us these rights and He's given us these liberties. And we need to just resolve to take them back.
Amen to that. In fact, we did an interview with Representative Charles Key and Senator Brogdon of Oklahoma just yesterday. And I've forgotten which one of them was saying that in Oklahoma, the state legislature passed an English-only legislation. In other words, English would be the official language. And I forgot, maybe it was Arizona, but I think it was Oklahoma.
Right.
Where they were contacted by the Attorney General of the United States and told that they would not get money, the federal
mm-hmm.
government, if they dared to try to enforce the law that
uh-huh.
was passed with the full support of the people of the state. But this is how things really work, because the people in Washington, D.C. hate America. They want a multicultural, multilingual, lingual society. And when you understand that, so much of what's going on in America makes sense. We'll be right back. Hey, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is June Griffin. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 8295. June, would you like to get your email out or your telephone number?
Yes. My telephone number is 423-775-0774. Or the email is jb21@juno.com.
Well, I want you to give that one more time because...
All right. 423-775-0774. Or the email jb21@juno.com.
All right, fine. Now, you are going to be running then for governor next year?
Yes, sir. Lord willing, I plan to. And next November, I'm going to run as an independent. And
Would you be better to run as a Republican or a Democrat? Or do you think that you can do as well as an independent? Of course, Jesse Ventura won up there and got to be governor running as an independent. Maybe the time has come when this will actually come to pass.
I think so, because the Republicans, I've always run, I ran years ago in Kentucky when I was working at the university, which is where I really got my eyes open during the 60s. I was working there in the maintenance, secretary to the director of maintenance. And I ran for state representative up there on the American Party. I wish they could bring back the American Party. It has a wonderful platform. But I've run independent and most of the time run as a Republican. But the Republicans are making me sick. They don't stand for anything anymore. The Democrats will come in and they'll say, we're going to cut your arm off. And the Republicans will come back and say, oh, please don't cut our arms off. Just cut our fingers off. Instead of resisting this iniquity, they compromise. And I'm fed up with it. I wrote a letter to the paper along that same vein today because one of our representatives had some wishy-washy something or other to say. But, Stan, I really appreciate, I want to take time to say this. There have been people like you down through the years who have stood for patriotism, and you need to be commended for what you have done in faithfulness and standing for our country. And there is a reward for that. And this broadcasting, and I know sometimes it gets lonely, it gets tiresome, like all work. But you have done this, and I do pray that God will bless you with those kind of efforts that make our nation great.
Well, this is what it's really all about, because it's a spiritual battle being played on a political battlefield, but at least we have a voice, and privileged that we are able to do what we do and to reach people all across America. And so I've really enjoyed so much talking to you and all the things that you have done. Now, when do you start your campaign, and how are you going about it? How are you getting the information out? Because suddenly you're going to get totally ignored by the mass media. Either that, because they won't even probably vilify you. They'll just give you the conspiracy of silence.
Well, I'm depending on the emails. That's a great tool now. Circulation through the Internet is good. And I do get some publicity from time to time, and the local papers have been pretty good to accept my press releases. Back when I was going through the state for the Ten Commandment resolution, I was featured on the front page of the Nashville Tennessean. It was a decent article, believe it or not. So the word is going to go out that way. And, of course, it's real early now. I mean, we're not even to November this year, much less next year. Who knows what will come next year is the way things are going. And I've been very active in opposing this health care thing that has been dreamed up. I've been going to tea parties and holding rallies and just every effort that we can do. But I'm depending on and asking the people who would be for my campaign, which is basically Constitution, nothing has changed, to make a homemade sign, put it in your front yard, June Griffin for governor next year, for Tennessee governor. And just tell everybody. Use the telephones, use the talk shows, use the emails. I don't want it to be a money campaign. I ran against Senator Alexander the last time he ran. And believe it or not, I spent about $600 of our own money. He spent $11 million. But I got 5,000 votes on that investment. And, of course, he won. But for me to receive that many votes across the state of Tennessee, which is a long state, believe it, it's wide. It's about 6 or 8 hours across it. And that was miraculous. It scared him, I think. And I had lots of opportunities to speak to the people. But the treatment that I have received from the Republican Party has not been good, even though I've been a very faithful to the foundations of republicanism. And believe it or not, I met a lot of what I call Harry Truman Democrats. There's a bunch of them that are real good, basic Americans. And they're not given to this New Age garbage that's coming out of the administration now. And they're unhappy with it. And there are a lot of good guys out there and women that are still hanging on to the Democrats. I think this is the end of the Democratic Party. It's been 40 years since they made their mess in Chicago. And I think it's their end. But there are a lot of good Harry Truman Democrats left. So that's why I'm running independent this time, from being sick at the Republicans being so wishy-washy. But I ran across something a few minutes ago on this immigration that you may be interested in, your readers.
Well, you go right ahead. Before we do, let me just mention our number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Now, what about immigration? Because, you know, this is something I think a lot of people feel very strongly about. There is an organized effort to create a multicultural, multilingual society. This is why they don't want English to be the official language in America. This is why they want to be able to play one group against another, as they do up in Canada with the French speaking and the English speaking. They want division. This is why they refuse to enforce our laws or to build the wall down there along the entire border. This is why, of course, they have steadfastly refused to really make any serious attempt to keep employers from hiring illegals. Oh, once in a while they'll go in. But what people do not understand is that the Internal Revenue Service knows, or I should say the people who actually get the Social Security, that division knows that a lot of illegals are here using illegal Social Security numbers, and they're actually setting aside money in the Social Security fund to pay the people who are here illegally, and when they go back to Mexico, they'll collect American Social Security because they've been paying into it illegally. They know where these people are. They're not trying to stop it. Everything that they're doing is simply to placate the American people, because the last thing they want is for the American people to realize that the subversives control our government today, and their dedication is to the destruction of the sovereignty of our nation. So what do you have there, June?
Well, I was reading what Theodore Roosevelt had to say about being an American in 1907. He said, in the first place, we should insist that if an immigrant who comes here in good faith becomes an American and assimilates himself for us, he shall be treated as an exact equality with everyone also. For it's an outrage to discriminate against any such man because of creed or birthplace or origin. But this is predicated on the person's becoming in every facet an American and nothing but an American. There can be no divided allegiance here. Any man who says he's an American but something else also isn't an American at all. We have room for but one flag, the American flag. We have room but for one language here, and that is the English language. And we have room but for one sole loyalty, and that is the loyalty to the American people.
Isn't that beautifully said?
Yes, it is, and it's true, and it hasn't changed.
Well, let me read something I just came across today. It's in a book written by the guest we had the first hour, but he was quoting Calvin Coolidge, mm-hmm. and he said, "We don't need more material development. We need more spiritual development. We don't need more intellectual power. We need more moral power. We don't need more knowledge. We need more character. We don't need more government. We need more culture. We don't need more law. We need more religion. We do not need more of the things that are seen. We need more of those things that are unseen. And of course, Calvin Coolidge was probably one of our greatest presidents. He's always gotten a bad press. Why? Because he was a good president.
That's
he
really
believed
good.
In the Constitution. He wanted to restrict the power of government. He was a deeply religious individual, and they hated him then, and they hate him today, just like they hated Andrew Jackson at that time when he spoke out, and they hate him today. But you go right ahead.
I just was commenting on what you had to say about Calvin Coolidge. I really appreciate you reading that. Millard Fillmore was a good president. He was a very good president. He was very patriotic. But those are not their favorites. Of course, who could gainsay anything against George Washington? I've read much of George Washington. In fact, my ancestor was a close aide to George Washington. I found out within the last 5 years. My husband likes to run at genealogy, and I am so grateful for this what we have here. But I believe with all my heart that the Lord is going to save this country. The people who are like Esau in the Bible and have given up their birthright, they will not be spared. They will not be spared. They will either die by the sword, the famine, or the pestilence. But those people who love our country and our God and will pray and turn from their wicked ways, they will be spared. I believe that with all my heart.
Well, you know, I've been thinking, and we've said this a couple of times on the air recently, but, you know, as we know, for instance, that there are a number of people who are dedicated to population control. Among them are certainly Bill Gates and the Rockefeller Foundation. And so basically, recently, there's been a fair amount of information about some vaults that they've actually built into caves up above the Arctic Circle, and at great expense of millions of dollars, they're taking seeds up there, seeds for wheat and seeds for corn and for the various grains and other food crops, and they're putting those seeds into these vaults where they'll be frozen and remain frozen there indefinitely. Now, why would the people who are dedicated to population control be storing seeds up there? I mentioned, of course, that Monsanto is involved in that, and they're the ones who are destroying our seeds because, of course, they have these artificial, genetically altered foods, and, of course, the pollens from those are getting into all of the crops. In fact, literally all of the canola, literally all of the soy, almost all of the corn, almost all of the cotton, for which cottonseed oil is created, you can't get the straight crops because they've intentionally polluted the seeds. Now, why then are the very people who are creating the problem and destroying the seeds of this country, like Monsanto, participating along with Bill Gates and with the Rockefeller Foundation, these people who are interested in population control? And I would like to suggest that they have a plan. And they want those seeds up there for when we start all over again. When, of course, the crops have been destroyed and the population has been destroyed and there's famine. But then, of course, when it's all done and everything is destroyed, they can start in all over again. And you say, well, that's crazy talk. Well, when you think about these people, and they really want to kill off most of the people here on Earth, and they really want to carry out those prophecies that we see in the Revelation in 6:8 about famine and war and pestilence and new diseases and killing off at least a quarter of the world's population, and that's just the beginning. When we read the Bible, so much of what we're seeing today really begins to make sense, doesn't it, June?
Well, what I say in the scriptures is it's when the Lord stands up and he said they've gone far enough. And I think that's where we are right now. It's the people. You know, I told my husband this afternoon, there have been two acts of God to take place since this last election. One was the buying up of arms with huge masses and tea parties. Do you have a call?
Yes, we do. We have Victor on the line from New York. Hi, Victor. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah. Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yeah, I got a question. You know, I was thinking, I'm a little philosopher a little bit, and now the universe is made of positives and negatives, electrons and protons and all that.
Right.
So it's energy forces, you know, and God is good, so I call that positive.
Mm-hmm.
And the third of the angels went negative, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this whole world, so like, Rome had it, like, they had the, they taxed twice. The Roman Catholic Church taxed the people, they conquered the world, and they taxed, they took the tax from the people, and money from the church. You know what I'm saying? That's what America's doing, too. Why don't we just go with that one religion, with just positive karma, you know what I'm saying?
Well, if you're a society of karma, it comes from the occult. These occult concepts, which is a karma, but if you believe in the karma, that's fine. That's your right. I have to believe in the God of the Bible. Hey, but thank you so much for calling, Victor. Appreciate hearing from you. And certainly our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or 464-8295. And of course, it's our contention. We're involved in a spiritual battle.
Yes, we are. We are, definitely. And you know, there's some circuit riders that made their way across our country in the early part of the country. I just read today, or yesterday, about the birthday of Peter Cartwright. If you want to read some thrillers, read the lives of those early circuit riders. There, of course, it's to be found on the Internet. Francis Asbury, Peter Cartwright, Lorenzo Dow. Those were great men. And they were really the steamboat and the old Methodist circuit rider civilized our country. And I love to read about them because they had such a vision of this nation as being the Israel of God. That's what they called it.
And of course, they were really out there trying to bring the word of the Lord to people. They were missionaries right here in America.
They did it.
And of course, certainly the circuit riders, the camp meetings that they had in the 1800s there, Charles Finney was involved in that second great awakening.
Oh, yes, I love him.
Second great. But we had a great awakening in the 1730s, and another great awakening, and 100 years later. And that was what really changed America and preserved our freedom.
We're having one now, Dan. There's an awakening now, and I know that the Lord is in it.
Well, of course, an awakening won't work unless the Lord's word, the Lord's work. I hope we have another Jonathan Edwards and John Wesley and a few of the others. We're going to be back in just a moment to wrap up our program and pray for revival.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, you know, America is changing, but most of the changes that are taking place seem to be designed to take away our freedom. And what can you do to remedy the current situation? Well, you can become informed, and one of the best ways to become informed is to subscribe to Republic Magazine, because that magazine provides the information that's suppressed in most other news magazines. If you want to oppose the effort to establish a one-world government, if you want to preserve freedom here in the United States and throughout the world, I suggest you subscribe to Republic Magazine, and you can do that by calling 1-800-873-1620. That's 800-873-1620, or access their website at www.republicmagazine.com. That's republicmagazine.com. I suggest you get extra copies for your family and your friends.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Awe of this woman who's been willing to take on the forces on the other side single-handedly and time after time be victorious. So you can be as well, and we, of course, would like to get copies of my interviews with June. They are available through Radio Liberty. But then, of course, we have so many important interviews. We want you to understand that America is under attack today because there really are evil people out there who hate America. If you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, if you haven't certainly heard my talk on the Forbidden Secret or my talk on the Financial Armageddon, you need to get this information. Both of those come with a syllabus. You need to get the new DVD entitled The Trilateral Commission, Pat Wood's talk he gave last October, going into how they created this whole financial collapse. But even more important than that, you need to understand right now the very real danger of the swine flu vaccine, because now, as I speak, just 6 weeks from when they're going to start a massive campaign in America to vaccinate millions of people, tens of millions of people that like to vaccinate at least 100 million people or more. And they want to target our most vulnerable, our children and our pregnant women. But they won't tell us what's in the vaccine. We know it has mercury, which is deadly poison. It's called thimerosal. We know it contains aluminum, but they're already beginning to distribute the squalene, but they won't tell us it's going to be in there. Why won't they tell us? Well, they're testing a few hundred people for a few weeks, and based upon the results of that, a very limited study, they're going to make a decision on something that could affect the lives of millions of people, because if you take the squalene shot, and suddenly it triggers off your immune system, why, of course, you can have an autoimmune disease and destroy the rest of your life, and there's no going back because there's no treatment for it. Understand, why are they even considering that? Why? Because we're dealing with very evil and wicked people. You need to get the CD set. It's called Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda by Dr. Ayoub. That's Mercury Autism and the Global Vaccine Agenda by Dr. David Ayoub. Comes with a CD-ROM in addition to the DVD, with literally thousands of pages of scientific data on the fact that they know they're poisoning our children. Why would anybody want to poison our children? You need to get the DVD, Dr. Russell Blaylock's talk last year. It's called Vaccines and Brain Development, and they know the vaccine destroys brain development. And you hear these poor young people being interviewed on Jay Leno, and they don't even know who's buried in Grant's tomb, or they don't know the address of the Gettysburg Address. I mean, it's unbelievable. And yet they're the victims of what I believe is an intentional effort to destroy the minds and thought process of our people. Do you know a better way to destroy a nation than to destroy the children of that nation? You need to get my talk on planned population reduction. It's a DVD. On Nandere College genocide, it's a DVD. On population control, and it's a video. You need to get and go to our website at RadioLiberty.com and pull down the Population Control Agenda. It's a monograph. You can pull it down for nothing, or if you get into the other items, just ask for a copy. We'll send you the pamphlet. Copy that. Reproduce it. Get it out to everyone you know. People have to understand some of the richest